Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. And I'm excited by my guest today because we've known each other. We've met many, many years ago, but really just reconnected in a wonderful way in the last few months related to the Think and Grow Legacy Tour, Think and Grow Legacy Tour, as well as the LA premiere of the Wishman movie. And he just lights up the room, every room he's in. James Dentley, thank you so much for being with me today.
I am so honored to be here, and I'm excited. Let's go.
You've got such an incredible smile and such a giant heart. And people see you, you're bigger than life. You really have touched millions of people's lives, one of the superstars in the MLM industry, both as a success story in your own right and helping other people become millionaires within that industry. Such an incredible, lots of honors. But with my group here, we talk about playing big, and I want them to realize, you know, wherever they are right now, they can get to where they want to be and where they deserve to be. So I like to kind of start with my guests to tell me, you know, tell me a little bit more about Little James and your journey so that people can relate to the journey that you've had.
Wow. Well, first, let me tell you a really funny story. My wife is a double scientist and physicist, geospatial analyst. And when we've been knowing each other forever, for over 20 years, and we were always good friends. And I used to always tell her about being positive. And I said, I told her a story. I said, my son came to me and he said, Dad, I'm afraid I failed my math test. And I said, no, son, you have to be positive. And then he's such a smart aleck. He said, okay, Dad, I'm positive. I failed my math test. And she didn't crack a smile, Sharon. You know, she wouldn't even laugh. And I said, Kara, it only takes 14 muscles to smile and 72 to frown. And being a scientist, she said, did you count them? And then she laughed. In my life, I've always been a storyteller. You know, my mom raised myself and my three sisters. My mom and dad divorced when I was 5 years old. She worked in a grocery store. And I didn't know what we didn't have, because it wasn't anything to measure it with. She found ways to take us to plays. I never forget, she took us to see Peter Pan, and I watched Peter Pan float around over the audience, and I knew I wanted to be Peter Pan. I knew I just wanted to be free. And if I go back to that memory, all of my life, I've always tried to be free. But also, I was a person that wanted to buy my mom a house. I was a person that wanted to provide for my family. My oldest sister, Denise, I'm second. I remember we were fighting. I'm 2 years younger than her, so I'm always in her way. I took my battleship and just rammed it right through a Barbie playhouse. I don't think that was a no-no. She forgave me when I was 30. And I remember we're fighting in the backyard. My grandfather says, don't fight your sisters. Your job is to take care of your sisters. And now, as I look at the breadcrumbs of my life, because you live life forward, you understand life backwards. I remember that my reference to his statement was to take care of them as if I was their dad. When my dad and mom were divorced, I became dad, and I would go out there and find ways to create money. We would go downtown and window shop downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue and on State Street, and all the old stores were there with the big windows, and they were lit up. It was so, so magical. And I just lived in this dream state. She put us in piano lessons, and she said she never knew how she found the money. She found it, and it didn't last long because all of us were terrible. We sucked at the piano. Two of us can sing, the other two are horrible. They remind me of a bird that flies on your windowsill in the middle of a Sunday summer day, and they sit on there, and the other birds are singing, and these two birds look at you and say, "Tweet!" My point is that I was always a jokester. I was always the one that had that made a lot of fun. I was very adventurous. I climbed things. I used to scale buildings. So I always lived my life like Peter Pan. I would always live in an adventure. And it held me back for a long time because I didn't have the structure. And I had discipline, but not in my mind, the discipline I wished I would have had at that time, not knowing that this creative imagination could serve me much later. But I did have a good memory. My mother took us to a church, and I remember at 8 years old, I remembered all the books of the Bible. At 5 years old, I knew my multiplication timetables up to 12 times 12. And these are things I could not get out of my brain even to this day. There's certain passages in the Bible we would read, and at 8 years old, I memorized them, and I still know them to the day. But I wasn't a good student in school. They didn't diagnose me with ADD because they didn't know. I guess they didn't know what it was. It wasn't a thing then. They just wrote in red, plays with things in class. Very active. My mother would send me to the store to buy a dozen eggs. I come back 3 hours later and every egg is broke. We don't have a lot of money. She's upset. And she told me I just started spinning the story. And all she could do was laugh and just laugh. I was that guy. I remember April Fool's Day, we booby trapped the entire house. So when she came home, everything would fall on her, fall on her head. And in her bedroom, that was gonna be the biggest part of the show. I decided to put a cup of water over the door. So when my mother walked in, the water would fall on her head. She walks in the door. She had a bad day, Sharon. And she's fussing and all the kids are scattering. And we're trying to get rid of all the booby traps. So we forgot about that one booby trap. And she's fussing. We had done our chores, and she's just angry. And she opens up that door, and that water falls on her head. And I am so afraid. I'm going to die. She just put her head down and cried and laughed and laughed and laughed. And we are a very close family with a lot of love. And I went out there and started working very early. I was the youngest general manager of a restaurant. At 18 years old, I was a general manager running my own restaurant. At 17, I got hired, and I memorized the operation and procedure manuals, the repair and maintenance manuals, and the policy and procedure manual. I could tell you everything. And to this day, most of that information, I still have it. And I was good at everything. I always came on time. I was a nice kid. They made me the manager, the general manager. And I was the youngest general manager in the entire company, country, worldwide. And I thought I was rich, but then I moved out and realized I was rich because I lived with my mama.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah. So I leave and I go to Texas and get with a company called Steak and Ale, Steak, Lobster, Prime Rib, and start managing these restaurants throughout Dallas, Houston, Midland, Odessa, and Abilene. And I begin to grow because growing up in the inner city of Chicago, we talk quickly because when it's cold outside, you talk fast because it's too cold to talk slow. Get it out. I moved to Texas and it's hot. It's 118 degrees and everybody talks slow. And we say, can I get a bag? And they say sack. Can I get a pop? They say soda. they say y'all. And we say tall. But I had the most incredible time. And I was around. And I remember going to Midland, Odessa, where they shot Friday Night Lights. And I didn't see another African-American person there for 6 months. But I had the best time and had the most incredible friendships there to this day. And it really helped me because I began and understood how to appreciate and love people that weren't like me, that it mattered with their educational process. I'm there with one of the richest restaurants in the country at the time, and it really worked. And that's the foundation of really who I am. And, it helped me become where I am today.
You love people and you love to be free. You want to be free.
That's right.
To everybody watching and listening, we all want to be free. We all want to have that freedom to live our life the way we want to. Many of us haven't reached that pinnacle yet. So talk a little, when you are really speaking into the heart of others that are in not as fortunate as we are at that point, they're still working towards it. What is the message you want to give to people when you are giving them that light at the end of the tunnel?
Okay. I was afraid to speak initially. I was scared to death like most people are when it comes to doing something new. I was saved because I began to read books. And I remember I went to my first networking event. It was, I believe, in June of 1994. And Dr. Dennis Kimbrough was the keynote speaker, and I've never, ever seen anything like it. And he had so much power but he was in control of the information. He had these poems and rhymes, and I like that. Coming from Chicago, you know, Jesse Jackson. And I'm listening to him. And that night I was scheduled to speak for the very first time. I had slept in 2 weeks, and that's the God's honest truth. And I went to Dr. Kimbrough, and I said, Dr. Kimbrough, can you help me out? I got to speak tonight. Can you give me some advice? He said, well, I'm not a speaker. I'm an author, and I talk about what other people say. He said, I'm going to write down the name of a speaker, and he trains speakers. And I'm going to give you his home number and his cell number. Call him up and tell him I said to call. I took the book, Think and Grow Rich in Black Choice. I took it to him, and he wrote in the book, To James, to the world's greatest speaker, believe. And as if the words jumped off of the page into my heart. And I learned from that. And that was the beginning. I went out that night and just knocked out the park. Now, in the midst of that, I'm actually homeless. Every night I had to find enough money to get a hotel room to sleep. And this time I had a hotel room where the beds were like inverted. There was more gum on the floor than carpet. I opened up the door and things were moving. It was terrible. I probably got sarcoidosis of the lungs by spraying Raid if I go to bed, because I was afraid. But I wouldn't ask for help. We talked about this earlier, because I needed to grow up and I knew it, and I had to fight through it right now. Someone told me their story, and their story saved me. It gave me a different frame of reference. So I remember reading The Meaning of Life, Viktor Frankl, when he was in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. He said, two men both trapped behind prison bars. One man saw the mud. The other man saw the stars. So I would tell you, when I got back to my hotel room and I opened up, and it was dimly lit, I opened up the piece of paper, and there was Les Brown's phone number. Now, we've been friends for 20 plus years, but at that time, I couldn't call him because I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel significant. So I guess when I'm on a stage and I'm able to take what's inside of me, is that I understand frequency, energy, but also understand vulnerability and the power there. I understand how to be fully self-expressed, because I've learned, Sharon, that when I love someone, I can love them for me or I can love them for them. And that was the difference. Because when I love someone for me, if I don't get what I think I want, or if I perceive I'm not getting it, I'll make them pay, because we can shut a person off, shut them down. We can put people on punishment, many things we can do. We'll break up a relationship before it can break up with us because of our own insecurities and feelings of not being significant. But if I love a person for you, if I love you for you, then it doesn't matter what you do, because I can love you over there. I just love you. Because if I don't operate that way, then I'm outer-directed. Now, that doesn't mean I have to put up with it.
I just need to repeat that, because that is so powerful. Yeah. Love someone for them, not love them for you.
You get to be who you choose to be. Mm-hmm. And we all come from, you know, what you live, you learn. What you learn, you practice. What you practice, you become. The Bible even says that he who keeps company with the wise shall be wise, but he who keeps company with fools shall be destroyed. I have scars, and my scars have scars, but they're beautiful scars. So I've learned to kind of control. I've learned that when things go wrong, I don't have to go wrong with it, because you always play a part in the stuff that goes on in your life. So I love you for you, which means it comes from a pure state, and I can stay in one place all the time and with acceptance and gratitude. And if it doesn't work, I still love you if it doesn't work, because I'm not loving you in requirement. And this is what I found out. If I can love everybody, then I don't require an individual's love to fill me. So where does that love come from?
Yeah.
It's the infinite source.
And the infinite source, as it's referred to in Think and Grow Rich. And so you and I are both participating in the Think and Grow Rich Legacy Tour. Talk a little bit about definitely the Think and Grow Rich with the Dennis Kimbrough, the Black Man's Choice, was very powerful in your life. But let's go back to the original work and talk a little bit about the impact that you see it has on yourself and others when they read it.
Okay. Well, I've also written Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, and I found there were different versions of it, of the same, written a little bit different. It's kind of amazing, different books pop in there. And I've written a ton of books. So first of all, we talked about definiteness of purpose too. And I was saying earlier, when I talk to a team, I say, know thyself. When I say, know thyself, don't say it out loud, say it internally. And every time you say that, you're going to calm down, because if you get back to who we are, we're beautifully and wonderfully made, whole and lacking nothing. We're born, and there's only one of you. Millions of sperm are raised to create one of us, each and every one of us, is a race, and the best of the best got there. We come out with our own DNA that can only be identified and traced back to you. We have our own fingerprint, eye pupil, our own voice signature. We are so unique, but through conformity, we decided to become like everyone else, and we lost ourselves. So when you come back to say, know thyself, and understand that there's power in each and every one of you, and that power is uniquely yours, your gift, and it's not to be compared. Because if I would take a car and take the car and disassemble it, put all the thousands of pieces of the car, which piece would I say was the most important? I could say the battery, it has power, but it means nothing without a spark plug. And between the battery and the spark plug, there's a little $4 wire. Without that wire, nothing happens. So what pieces are important? I say all of them. So when I looked at Think and Grow Rich and I looked at the collaboration, I love John Shen. I respect him so much. Arlene, his entire family. He's a wonderful man. We connected and became friends instantly. And when I signed on for it, I knew. I'm watching all of us are there, and I'm loving it because none of us are there to make money because there's no money for us to really make there. It's really about service. And I said to the group, I said, the greatest value for all of us is each other. Because as we're charged with this work, we need one another because none of us can reach our total potential alone. None of us are meant to be alone. We all can lift each other up and inspire. We all can learn. And we get to collaborate and build these incredible relationships, which has me on your podcast right now and as you were on my show earlier. So it helps us to be able to fan out and get our message out to empower, impact people, because how blessed are we? Because nobody really has to listen to us. They choose to. So we have to wear that one honor, and I'm glad to be around a group of people who do that and who adhere and teach from the principles outlined in Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill, the original source.
And that's the power of these events. As you said, no, we're not there to sell anything. We're there to serve.
Serve, yes.
And to encourage everyone that it comes is to, you know, pick up that one or two things that you can employ in your life right away to make a big difference.
Yes. So
James, I want you to share with everyone how they can find you and learn more about you and connect with you, because I know you've got your television show, you've got your radio show. Share a little bit about James Zentley and how people can find you to learn from you.
We have a basketball team. Oh, God. NBA retired players, 24 to 34. We play in the summer, and we have a league, and we play overseas, 5-on-5 basketball. So it's been really a blessing. They can find me simply by going to www.jamesdentley.com, D-E-N-T-L-E-Y. The show is thejamesdentleyshow.com. You can get me there or by going to JD@thejamesdentleyshow.com. Or you can Google me. I'm easy to find. Just go to Facebook and holler at a brother because I'll answer you because I kind of like you. All of you.
And you know what? There's not a better smile anywhere than that of James Zentley. Well, James is going to hang out with me so we can do another small recording for our private Facebook group. So if you haven't joined it, please do join us at the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter private Facebook page. But please, you know, re-listen to this. Unbelievable nuggets of wisdom and just from the heart, all right? Absolutely from the heart. He walks the talk. And he does love you for you. Definitely. Yes. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
I feel it, and I'm sure that each and every one of you does. So thank you, James, and hang in there for me a moment. And thank you all for watching and listening to this podcast, this segment of the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter with the one and only James Zentley.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.